Chapter 2. New Land. The first day of the new year, January 1, 1915, was cloudy, with a gentle northerly breeze and occasional snow squalls. The condition of the pack improved in the evening, and after 8 p.m. we forged ahead rapidly through brittle young ice, easily broken by the ship. A few hours later, a moderate gale came up from the east, with continuous snow. After 4 a.m. on the 2nd, we got into thick old pack ice, showing signs of heavy pressure. It was much hummocked, but large areas of open water and long leads to the southwest continued until noon. The position then was latitude 69 degrees 49 minutes south, longitude 15 degrees 42 minutes west, and the run for the 24 hours had been 124 miles south 3 degrees west. This was cheering. The heavy pack blocked the way south after midday. It would have been almost impossible to have pushed the ship into the ice, and in any case the gale would have made such a proceeding highly dangerous. So we dodged along to the west and north, looking for a suitable opening towards the south. The good run had given me hope of sighting the land on the following day, and the delay was annoying. I was growing anxious to reach land on account of the dogs, which had not been able to get exercise for 4 weeks and were becoming run down. We passed at least 200 bergs during the day, and we noticed also large masses of hummocky bay ice and ice foot. One floe of bay ice had black earth upon it, apparently basaltic in origin, and there was a large berg with a broad band of yellowish-brown right through it. The stain may have been volcanic dust. Many of the bergs had quaint shapes. There was one that exactly resembled a large two-funnel liner, complete in silhouette except for smoke. Later in the day we found an opening in the pack and made 9 miles to the southwest, but at 2 a.m. on January 3rd the lead ended in hummocky ice, impossible to penetrate. A moderate easterly gale had come up with snow squalls, and we could not get a clear view in any direction. The hummocky ice did not offer a suitable anchorage for the ship, and we were compelled to dodge up and down for 10 hours before we were able to make fast to a small floe under the lee of a berg 120 feet high. The berg broke the wind and saved us drifting fast to leeward. The position was latitude 69 degrees 59 minutes south, longitude 17 degrees 31 minutes west. We made a move again at 7 p.m., when we took in the ice anchor and proceeded south, and at 10 p.m. we passed the small berg that the ship had nearly touched 12 hours previously. Obviously, we were not making much headway. Several of the bergs passed during this day were of solid blue ice, indicating true glacier origin. By midnight of the 3rd, we had made 11 miles to the south, and then came to a full stop in weather so thick with snow that we could not learn if the leads and lanes were worth entering. The ice was hummocky, but fortunately the gale was decreasing, and after we had scanned all the leads and pools within our reach, we turned back to the northeast. Two sperm and two large blue whales were sighted, the first we had seen for 260 miles. We saw also petrels, numerous adelies, emperors, crab-eaters, and sea leopards. The clearer weather of the morning showed us that the pack was solid and impassable from the southeast to the southwest, and at 10 a.m. on the 4th we again passed within 5 yards of the small berg that we had passed twice on the previous day. We had been steaming and dodging about over an area of 20 square miles for 50 hours, trying to find an opening to the south, southeast, or southwest, but all the leads ran north, northeast, or northwest. It was as though the spirits of the Antarctic were pointing us to the backward track, the track we were determined not to follow. Our desire was to make easting as well as southing, so as to reach the land, if possible, east of Ross's furthest south and well east of Coates Land. This was more important, as the prevailing winds appeared to be easterly, and every mile of easting would count. In the afternoon we went west in some open water, and by 4 p.m. we were making west-southwest with more water opening up ahead. The sun was shining brightly, over 3 degrees high at midnight, and we were able to maintain this direction in fine weather till the following noon. The position then was latitude 70 degrees 28 minutes south, longitude 20 degrees 16 minutes west, and the run had been 62 miles, south 62 degrees west. At 8 a.m. there had been open water from north round by west to southwest, but impenetrable pack to the south and east. At 3 p.m. the way to the southwest and west-northwest was absolutely blocked, and as we experienced a set to the west, I did not feel justified in burning more of the reduced stock of coal to go west or north. I took the ship back over our course for 4 miles, to a point where some looser pack gave faint promise of a way through. But, after battling for 3 hours with very heavy hummocked ice and making 4 miles to the south, we were brought up by huge blocks and floes of very old pack. Further effort seemed useless at that time, and I gave the order to bank fires after we had moored the Endurance to a solid floe. The weather was clear, and some enthusiastic football players had a game on the floe until, about midnight, Worsley dropped through a hole in rotten ice while retrieving the ball. He had to be retrieved himself. Solid pack still barred the way to the south on the following morning, January 6th. There was some open water north of the floe, but as the day was calm and I did not wish to use coal in a possibly vain search for an opening to the southward, I kept the ship moored to the floe. This pause in good weather gave an opportunity to exercise the dogs, which were taken onto the floe by the men in charge of them. The excitement of the animals was intense. Several managed to get into the water, and the muzzles they were wearing did not prevent some hot fights. Two dogs which had contrived to slip their muzzles fought themselves into an icy pool and were hauled out, still locked in a grapple. However, men and dogs enjoyed the exercise. A sounding gave a depth of 2,400 fathoms, with a blue mud bottom. The wind freshened from the west early the next morning, and we started to skirt the northern edge of the solid pack in an easterly direction under sail. We had cleared the close pack by noon, but the outlook to the south gave small promise of useful progress, and I was anxious now to make easting. We went northeast under sail, and after making 39 miles passed a peculiar berg that we had been abreast of 60 hours earlier. Killer whales were becoming active around us, and I had to exercise caution in allowing anyone to leave the ship. These beasts have a habit of locating a resting seal by looking over the edge of a floe and then striking through the ice from below in search of a meal. They would not distinguish between seal and man. The noon position on January 8th was latitude 70 degrees, 0 minutes south, longitude 19 degrees, 0, 9 minutes west. We had made 66 miles in a northeasterly direction during the preceding 24 hours. The course during the afternoon was east-southeast through loose pack and open water, with deep, hummocky flows to the south. Several leads to the south came in view, but we held on the easterly course. The flows were becoming looser, and there were indications of open water ahead. The ship passed not fewer than 500 bergs that day, some of them very large. A dark water sky extended from east to south-southeast on the following morning, and the Endurance, working through loose pack at half speed, reached open water just before noon. A rampart berg, 150 feet high and a quarter of a mile long, lay at the edge of the loose pack, and we sailed over a projecting foot of this berg into rolling ocean, stretching to the horizon. The sea extended from a little to the west of south, round by east to north-northeast, and its welcome promise was supported by a deep water sky to the south. I laid a course south by east, in an endeavour to get south and east of Ross's furthest south, latitude 71 degrees 30 minutes south. We kept the open water for 100 miles, passing many bergs, but encountering no pack. Two very large whales, probably blue whales, came up close to the ship, and we saw spouts in all directions. Open water inside the pack in that latitude might have the appeal of sanctuary to the whales, which are harried by man further north. The run southward in blue water, with a path clear ahead and the miles falling away behind us, was a joyful experience after the long struggle through the ice lanes. But, like other good things, our spell of free movement had to end. The Endurance encountered the ice again at 1 a.m. on the 10th. Loose pack stretched to east and south, with open water to the west and a good water sky. It consisted partly of heavy hummocky ice, showing evidence of great pressure, but contained also many thick, flat floes, evidently formed in some sheltered bay and never subjected to pressure or to much motion. The swirl of the ship's wash brought diatomaceous scum from the sides of this ice. The water became thick with diatoms at 9 a.m., and I ordered a cast to be made. No bottom was found at 210 fathoms. The Endurance continued to advance southward through loose pack that morning. We saw the spouts of numerous whales and noticed some hundreds of crab-eaters lying on the floes. white-rumped terns, Antarctic petrels and snow petrels were numerous, and there was a colony of adelies on a low berg. A few killer whales with their characteristic high dorsal fin also came in view.